servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Please take your seat. We are so honored at this time to have once again Pastor Jimmy Masharia all the way from Kenya. From the Harvest Family Church. I mean, I saw that the name could work because he's a man, he's a family man. Even when you see here and his wife, you see that he's a very nice husband. Very, very nice. He's very tender. He'll be holding her in the way. He'll be walking. He'll be talking to her. When they are sitting, they'll be whispering to each other. I say, but they're not coming from the same house. Hey! But it's like they have not seen enough of each other. It's A1. A1-istic. Yeah. But very practical too, because his wife pastors one church and he also pastors another church. So I think on Sundays they don't see each other. That one, they have given it to the Lord. But after that, I see why. After that, it's like the Sunday has been taken. They have to make up. Beautiful. And what a blessing. He has been such a blessing to us from yesternight. His journey began from Takoradi. He preached for 2 days and then he drove all the way to Takwa on Friday night, preached Friday night, and returned to Takoradi to sleep and catch a flight Saturday morning and arrived here. And then in the evening, he was back on the pulpit, ministering powerfully. Oh yes. That's a man of God. I told him that he needs a stadium for his messages. And I think our hall is too small for him, but at least we too, we are here some. Before you get to the stadium, you have to be playing soccer at the small park behind the house. So it's like playing soccer at the back of the house. You understand? You hone your skills there. You start playing 2 times. Put the ball on your foot, play 2 times, and then you start going to the park for students. And then after that, you go to the stadium. But we are blessed to have somebody that I call my friend. My friend. And I want to tell you, try and develop friendships because they are your doorway into many of the blessings God has for you in your life. So the scripture enjoins us that your own friends and your father's friends forsake not. Your own friends. Those of you who like quarreling with all your friends. The Bible says that your own friends and then your father's friends forsake not. Don't turn your back. And I intend to keep this friendship till death do us part. Yes. So, very anointed and very blessed with the ability to communicate the word of God. And I thank God that, you know, our paths crossed. He is a member of the Give Thyself Holy Conference Board. Board of Healing Jesus, I think. I don't know now, I'm even confused. I think it's the same. Yeah. And he has been following our father, the prophet, for many years. And himself testifies that it is his association, connection, spiritual, with the prophet that has turned him his ministry and himself and his life into a global phenomenon. The world will hear him. You watch. And I believe that Macarius, we are blessed. And for these few minutes we have to be with him, let us receive him with our hearts. And let God finish whatever he starts. Don't go away when they are preaching. Or let's say you think about, yeah, I've left something on the fire. Let it burn. Do you understand? Because if you left it in the morning, by this time there, I mean, even if you go, you can't save it. It's finished a long time. And if you left your iron on, and by this time your house is still standing, then it's not these few hours we have that will change anything. So concentrate on the man of God. Give him your fullest attention. And his Bishop Oyedepo, I heard, he said that when you are in a prophetic service, you have to be sensitive. Because sensitivity is the only way to maximize your portion. Because yours can come to you by a smile from the prophet. So while he's smiling at you, you have slept. You can't catch the anointing. And then while in the yours can come to you by the waving of the hand. So as he's waving his hand in your direction to bring a blessing, you are turning to talk to someone. So give your attention. Elijah said, if you see me go, you receive the invitation. So you need to be sensitive and alert, because yours will come tonight. Your change is coming tonight. Your shift is coming tonight. Your new level is coming tonight. With Jesus' joy, join me, welcome God's man of faith and power, Pastor Jimmy Masharia, all the way from Kenya.
Amen. Wow. What a church. When you look around this church, you just see money. Look at the screens, the monitors. Hey, why can't you give Jesus a better shout of praise? Give him a shout of praise. Wow. Father, we thank you so much for this great opportunity that you have given to us. We ask you that you help us and that you speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you sit down, please, can I have the worship team? Where are those guys? The worship team. Come, I tell you which song we are going to sing. Hey, you guys can sing. You have one of the nicest worship team, choir, something. Hey. I don't know whether, you know, when you have something, you don't appreciate it. And I can't see like you're appreciating the nice worship team. All right. Now, as they prepare themselves, I want to really appreciate the indefatigable, quintessential, the financial deliverer of this wonderful Macarius. You know, very intelligent man of God. In the life of Bishop Eddie Adi. Why don't we show him some love? Show him some love. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Bishop Eddie, I want you to know that we love you. Do we love him? I'm speaking on their behalf. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to say thank you for preaching to us. Oh, some people, they are still seated down. I'm here to speak for you. I'm here to speak for you. We know that you can be in Kenya, you can be in Switzerland, you can be in UK, but you have chosen to be with us. Or is it true or not true? Then why don't you tell him we love you, Bishop Eddie? Why don't you give Jesus a better shout of praise for Bishop Eddie? Wow. Thank you so much for your friendship, for all that you do for us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I also want to thank God for the Archbishop. Big Daddy, we love you. I've known you for all these years. And we like you. It's one thing to also... By the way, Bishop, I also like you. Because you can love somebody and not like them. But I also like you. Amen. I like your swing. I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. And Archbishop, we also love you so much. And Apostle Kingsley, also beautiful to see you. God bless you for what you do for the kingdom. And all the bishops, Bishop Aso, and all the pastors, you know. I was today at the Macarios with that name, the man who does not finish fighting. Is it the meaning of your name? Reverend John, right? Is it John? Yeah? Yeah, Akwesi. What a name. Akwesi. Wow. He hosted me so well. Come on, let's appreciate Reverend Akwesi. Amen. Oh, he's East Legon. And this is East Legon Hills. Anyway, all the men of God, thank you so much. Amen. Now, this week on Tuesday, I went to play golf with Bishop Eddie. And at some point, he could not hit his balls nicely. And he said, the problem is Bishop Aso. I've been trying to teach him. So I told him, something has left Bishop Aso and it has fallen on you. And then you heard a voice saying, from now on, you cannot play. So Bishop Aso, we don't want you near Bishop Eddie because you're golf. Amen. So I love you guys. May God bless you. I want us to sing this song. It's one of my favorite songs. And I know that we have one of the best worship team here. Take it home. All right.
Falling down to worship, sing the song forever to the dead. The thousand generation, falling down to worship, sing the song forever to the dead.
People say, oh.
Hallelujah. Why don't you give Jesus a better shout? Amen. Father, you're holy. And you're holy forever. Thank you. Because you will change our lives. Because you're a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Holy forever. Amen. Now, this morning or afternoon, we started discussing breaking the back of poverty. Amen. And we say that it is not the will of God for us to be poor. Poverty is bad. And we said, I hate poverty. Amen. Now, we say that one of the things that God does with breaking poverty in our lives is that He raises for us a prophet. A prophet in your life has been raised by God to change your life. So a lot of people think that when God breaks poverty, He will, in your life, He will bring you money. But many a times, God actually raises a man who is a prophet who comes with a word from the Lord. And his business is to build your capacity so that when God releases the resources you are looking for, you will not be swallowed up by the blessing. I'm sure you know somebody who once was poor, became rich, and they are no longer born again. They backslid. Yeah, I'm sure you know somebody somewhere. You can't reach them anymore. Why? Because they didn't have the capacity to hold what God was bringing into their lives. So God places a man of God, a prophet, who always and continuously shares and teaches you the word so that he can build your capacity so that you can contain more than you can carry. Amen. And for Macarius, God has raised Bishop Eddie as our prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. And there is something that is on him, you know, that if you can begin to see him as a financial deliverer, you will slowly but surely, some of it will be immediately, some of it will be quick, you will see yourself breaking out of poverty. And you will begin to rise and rise steadily. Because his presence in your life, it is for your blessing. So a lot of people, when they pray, Lord, deliver me. God does not deliver you the way you want to be delivered. God sends you a prophet. Amen. Now, there is another mystery that God also releases in our lives. And that is the mystery of the seed. It's called the seed faith mystery. Where God uses seeds to also change your life. Amen. Now, when God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, we see something there. Let's look at Genesis. I hope I can speak freely. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you alright? Are you okay? Are you alive? Genesis chapter 1 verse 11, you see something there, and 12, the Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Then verse 12, the Bible says, and the earth brought forth grass, grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, I want you to know that since God created the world, he has not gone back to recreate it. Does it make sense? Yeah, after the 6 days, he has not said, oh, the cows are finishing. Let me create new cows. No, he put a system which is called the seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8, I think verse 22, where it says that seed time and harvest shall not cease. There will always be seed time and harvest time. So God has already put a system where the world has its way of just regenerating and generating itself. Amen. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So God, you know, he's not recreating things. He gave us seeds and he knew that we are sorted forever. Alright? So when somebody says, Lord, bless me financially, does God have a printing money printing machine in heaven? That would be illegal, isn't it? He would probably be arrested if you can. If you start producing money in your house, you'll be arrested, isn't it? So God has put a system which is called a seed time and a harvest kind of a system. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when God wants you to be moved out of any situation, he gives you a seed. And then from there, he begins to bring harvest, seed time, harvest, seed time, harvest. So all of us here, we can climb out of poverty in the kingdom of God. Are you listening? All of us, we can climb out of poverty. I need somebody to repeat after me. Say, I can climb out of poverty. So it does not matter where you are born. It does not matter which family you've come from. It does not even matter which country you come from. Because you can't say, oh, Africa, we are poor. Oh, I mean, you are poor, but there are people building new buildings. Even in this economy. True or false? Some people have bought new cars. Debt-free in this economy. And they live in this Ghana. Luxury cars. I'm not talking about the other cars that we discussed yesterday. I'm talking about nice, modern cars. You know, there is a car that when it sees a human being, it stops. A thinking car. When the rain starts dropping, the wipers think and they start. You know, your car, the wiper, you have to remove your hand. And then jump start the wipers. Hey! Mercy. So God has a system and it's called the seed time and harvest kind of a system. Amen. So all of us, we can climb out. Somebody say, I will climb out. Now, some of you feel like probably you're already rich, but no. The level you are in, there is always a higher level. Amen. If we ask now, if you are saying you are rich, okay, give us $1 million now. Because I'm sure there are so many projects we need to complete as a church. But if we say, even you can see when Bishop is receiving offerings yesterday, you can see that the people, you know, they are feeling like, oh, I wish I had money. Yeah, because you can see that the guys who are coming for the 100 CDs envelope, they don't want to even be seen. It's like, it's not a nice thing that I'm coming. I mean, the kind of envelope I've come to pick, it's not nice. The church is quiet. You know, one time, Papa Adeboye, he was raising funds for a generator. While he was saying, I would like people to sow a certain seed or of something, we want to buy a generator, somebody came with a note and he gave it to him. And in the note it was written, Daddy, stop disturbing people. I'm paying for the generator. I don't know it was how many millions. I pray that somebody here will be like that man in the name of Jesus. Then, on a Saturday service, Bishop Oyedepo, he said that God had spoken to him to buy a new jet. He already had a jet, but he wanted to buy another one. And he said that those who want to participate in buying in the jet, go to the room, like there was a room, like the crash there in the corner, go there, and you can make a decision of what you want. So after a few minutes, somebody came and said, the jet has been paid for. Debt free. And it has been paid for. Now, one of the elders in the church was not in the service that Saturday. So when he came, he heard the bishop announcing that, glory to God, we have the jet is paid. Hey, the man said, huh? What happened? Then he was told yesterday, you know, bishop said this, and he said, and I was not there. Then I'll fuel the jet for the whole year. Oh yes! That anointing is coming on someone. The guy said, I'll fuel the jet and I will pay for the parking of the jet for a whole year. Hey! If you want that anointing, I want you to lift up your hand and say, I am here, Lord. Locate me in the name of Jesus. Now receive it now in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to share with you 21 facts about seed faith. Now listen, if you agree with what I'm going to teach you, you are going to say goodbye to poverty for the rest of your life. Hey. You are going to say what? Goodbye to poverty for the rest of your life. A lot of Christians don't believe these things. That's why they cannot come out of poverty. Yeah? Muslims believe in this principle and they do it. In Kenya, I don't know about here, but in Kenya, most are built by, you know, maximum 5 people. So you see a nice mosque. You think that they were saying, now take an envelope. No. They just come and say, the 5 of us, or the 2 of us, or they actually fight to build. But in Africa, and in our Christendom, we attack building churches. We attack giving. We say, these people are too much. That's why you are poor. You are poor of the poorest. That's why we have to bless you. But somebody in this conference, this is your last conference to be blessed. Let me try it again. This is your last conference to be blessed. You would rather buy buses to bless people in the name of Jesus. Receive it if you believe it in the name of Jesus. Now, 21 facts. I'll give you maybe 5. Number 1. Yeah, I think your money will reach 5. Number 1. Do you want to break the back of poverty? Lack. Borrowing. Begging. Do you want it? I am here to tell you it is here in the name of Jesus. It's hanging in the air. Now this is the mystery of the seed. Now your seed, number 1, is anything you have received from God that you can sow into someone else. Your seed is anything you have received from the Lord that you can sow into someone else. All right? Can I repeat again? Your seed is anything you have received from God that you can sow into someone else. Anything. So, let me give you suggestions of seeds that God has given you. Thoughts are seeds. Thoughts are seeds. You are where you are today because of how you think. Your life is a direct reflection of the type of thoughts that you have. So thoughts are seeds. Love is a seed. Some of you thought that seeds are only money. You're saying, he's just going to tell us money, 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 money. I forgive you. Thoughts are seeds. Love is a seed. Alright? Alright? Another seed is time. Time is a seed. I was teaching in East Legon and I told them that your assignment is anything that you love and you are passionate to do. And I told them that the proof of your passion is the investment of your time. So, because I love ministry, I invest my time in ministry. I read books that have to do with ministry. I travel and pay ticket to come to be educated about ministry. Now you, because you love entertainment and you are not pursuing anything in your life, the best book that you read is Facebook. So that's why you're poor. If you want to climb out of poverty, you must sow time seeds. Where do you invest your time? What do you spend your time doing? Time is a seed. Time wasted will never be recovered. So, what you invest your time in, that is what you will reap. Hello? Are you there? Look at your neighbor who has been wasting time and say, and just laugh, because that's why they are poor. If you invest your time correct, I'm telling you, you'll climb out of poverty. Time is a seed. Love is a seed. Even the people you choose to love, and you sow your love to them, you sow your life to them. Oh, let me tell you, you'll reap things. I am now sleeping in a nice hotel because I've chosen to love the right person. I'm not saying who it is, but I've chosen to love the right person. And I have invested and sown seeds of love to that person. So at the right time, I have reaped a harvest. Let me tell you something. You can never capture an anointing until you love it. That is why my love for Bishop Doug has cost me to catch an anointing. I know you're feeling jealous, but I am here. I'm here. I have received many things because of loving him. Not because I call him and say, oh, daddy, I love you. No. I love him from wherever I am. When I watch him on TV, when I watch him on my phone, I say, wow. When I'm listening to him, I say, wow. I just love him. So I have invested. So because I love him, because love, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. It is the investment of my love for him is, I look for, what can I give? Because you cannot say, I love you. Love is not lip service. Love is action. Action. And when you invest and you sow seeds of love, in due season, you will reap things that you cannot understand and you cannot explain. So, thoughts is a seed. Love is a seed. Time is a seed. Patience is a seed. All right? Patience is a seed. So it's a seed that you must sow. The seed of patience. Mercy is a seed. Mercy is a seed. That's why the Bible says, if you show others mercy, you will also be shown mercy. So, people who have no mercy for anyone, They also don't reap mercy. Nobody feels mercy for you. So these are seeds. I'm mentioning different types of seeds. Kindness is a seed. That is why the golden rule says, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Because kindness is a seed. I don't know whether I'm in the right. Maybe I should go and sleep. Or maybe I should just call a few guys and talk to them. Hey, kindness. You don't show anybody kindness. So who shows you kindness? So you can actually climb out of poverty without money. Just by being kind to others, God now begins to give you a harvest of kindness. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. Oh yes. I might not have had money while coming here, but because of my seeds of kindness, not just to Bishop, but to other people. To other people. I have had many times when somebody says, oh, man of God, I'm coming by Kenya. I have 6 hours, I have 7 hours at the airport. This is somebody that I don't talk to, but I know them. I have said, oh, you're coming. I will send a driver to the person. I will book them in a hotel. And I'll tell them, rest. In a nice hotel. And I am not expecting anything. So what has happened is that I have sown a seed of kindness. So in due time, I will also reap a harvest. So you'll be there feeling jealous and saying, look at all these pastors. They are always just in 5-star hotels. Nah, 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 nah. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm here to tell you, nah, 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 boo, boo. Because I have climbed out of poverty by being kind to others. Alright? Kindness is a seed. And then money is a seed. Alright? If you want oranges, you sow orange seeds. If you want watermelon, do you have watermelon here? You sow watermelon seeds. Money also can be used as a seed. And you can sow money seeds. And what will happen? You will reap money harvests. Alright, I'm still coming. Your prayers are seeds. Every time you pray, you are sowing seeds. Tell your neighbor who's about to sleep. How can you sleep when Pastor Jimmy is preaching? Ask your neighbor, how can you? No wonder you don't have money. No wonder. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, push them a little bit and tell them you are seeds. So if you're young now and you don't have a wife, you can sow seed prayers concerning your marriage now. Oh yes. I remember when I was dating my beloved, and she said hi, by the way. We used to wake up early in the morning because we were in Bible school, and would meet in the chapel to pray for our marriage. And we'll pray for at least 1 hour. And then when we finish, she's on her corner, I'm in my corner. And then when we finish after 1 hour, we come together, we hold hands, and we thank God for our marriage. In the air. We were just praying for the future. I was just praying about our future, our destiny, our children. Hey! Yeah, just praying. Lord, I pray for my destiny. I pray for my future. I pray for our marriage. Oh God, hold us together. Keep us together. Oh Lord. And then we were beloved. Yeah, we were already beloved. So we were investing and sowing seeds of prayer for our future. Some of the prayers you're making now are seeds, and they are for your future. Is it making sense? Lastly, thankfulness is a seed. Thankfulness is a seed. Lord, I thank you for my life. Lord, I thank you for my church. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you. Bishop Eddie calls you and says, oh, I was thinking about you, or whatever. Please come and see me. Then you go see him. When you finish talking, you say, thank you. You have sown a seed. Thank you is a seed. Thanking God is a seed. Being thankful is a seed. A lot of people, they receive something, they keep quiet, they don't say thank you, they have not sown a seed. And so something has stopped at that moment, and it will not continue. That is why some of you are poor, God has blessed you to a certain level, and you can't seem to break through, because you don't bring a seed of thanksgiving. So you are okay, but you cannot rise beyond a certain level. It is until you come back and you begin to sow seeds of thanksgiving. Some of you might have to give thanks every end of the month and tell God, I want to say thank you that I have survived this month. As I begin a new month, I thank you. And you also don't just say thank you. Don't just say thank you. Your thank you must be followed with something. It can be a card, it can be money, it can be something to show that you are grateful. It can be a car, it can be something to say, I am grateful. Some of you can build a church to say, I am grateful that you have saved my life. This church is a thanksgiving offering. Oh yes. When you say thank you, you make the person that helped you to remember you. And you keep your memory alive in the mind of that person. Some of you ought to go back to your uncle who helped you and tell him, I've just come to say thank you. And you sow a seed of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means that you are not forgetful. You acknowledge that somebody actually helped you. Some of you will never be pastors. You will never have been a pastor anywhere. Nobody would have chosen you until when either Bishop Eddie proposed that you become a pastor, proposed that you become a bishop. You ought to continuously sow seeds of thanks to the person that ordained you and the person that mentioned your name. All right, the person who went and said, I think Aso can become a pastor. And then Aso became a pastor. Then, I think Aso can become a bishop or a reverend. And then you became a reverend. You cannot say, I am here where I am because of my anointing. Or because of my seriousness. Or because everybody rises to the next level because of somebody who introduces them, mentions them. And I'm here to say, after this conference, your name will be mentioned in high places. I say your name will be mentioned in high places. You see, your name can be mentioned somewhere where it will not mean anything. But there will be a mentioning of your name to someone who can change your life. Receive that grace and that anointing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine someone mentioning your name to Donald Trump and saying that, Mr. President, because we are hoping, or if he becomes, or if whenever, or when he, or whatever you decide. If he becomes, he's still Trump. Or maybe Joe Biden, at least when he was remembering things. If you are mentioned, can you imagine that there is a man you need to meet, Donald Trump, there is a man you need to meet, and his name is Bishop Aso. When he prays for you, you will win. And then you receive a call from America, and you are called to Mala something with a go at the end. With a private jet. I prophesy to you, let your name be mentioned in high places amongst decision makers. If you believe it, shout yes. That is
point number one. Your seed is anything that God gives you that can be sown into someone else. And those are some of the suggestions of the seeds that you have. Number two is seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create something else you have been promised. Seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create something else you have been promised. So when God gives you a promise, He expects you to look around you on what He has given to you, and you sow it with an intention that I am sowing this seed to create room for what I have been promised. Amen. Now, many years ago, I did not have an offering while I was in the church. I was in the church, but I didn't have an offering. Guess what? I gave my pen. I had a pen. I put it in the offering bag. Today, I have pens that if I gave it to you and you sold it, you would pay rent probably for 6 months. Can you imagine? I had, one time I didn't have a pen, I didn't have money, but I had a tie. And I sold the tie. So these people who keep saying, I don't have anything to give, and you fold your hands like this, you are killing and destroying your future. Because seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create room for what you have been promised. Now, I was there one day when somebody brought me a tie worth over $150. I have so many ties, I wonder. Because it is what you sow that you reap. It is what you sow that you reap. Yeah. And a seed is anything that you have been given that you can sow into someone else's life or into something. Then number two, a seed faith is taking what you have been given and sowing it to create room for what you have been promised. Number three. So don't say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I want you to look at your neighbor next to you. Push them. Don't be afraid of them. It's not, I know they are old and they are young and they are whatever, but push them a little bit and say, brother, you have something you can sow. Tell them, brother, sister, I am climbing out of poverty and you will be my witness. Now, this number three is powerful, man. Number three is powerful. I don't know whether I should tell you number three. I feel like I should keep this secret with me. Now, your seed, number three, is the tool God has given you to create your future. So when God wants to bless you, He doesn't give you many things. He gives you a seed. And your seed is what you have been given to create your future. So, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at David. He complained about the armor of Saul, but he had another tool, the slingshot. It was simple. It was overlooked. It was ignored by other soldiers. It was the seed that God had placed in his hands. And it was his supernatural tool. God always leaves you with something. God never leaves anybody with nothing. Look around you. There is something that God has given to you, not to eat, but to sow. So that it can create your future. Look at David. He said, I can't wear this armor. It's too heavy. So he removed it and he went with a slingshot. Some of you, your education is your slingshot. You have an idea, you have something that God has given to you, and if you sow it, if you use it, God is going to give you a future that you have always prayed for. So your seed is the tool God has given you to create your future. So this man David, he took a stone and a slingshot, and he created a future of a king. He became a king from a slingshot. Because after that event, everybody was singing, David, David. Everybody knew about David. 10,000, yeah. And Saul has killed 1,000. Everybody began to sing. So, what is it that God has given to you that you can use to create your future? God always leaves you with something. What is it? Find it. Number four, something, this is powerful. I don't know whether I should tell you this one. I don't think you'll take me serious when I give you those threats, but one of these threats will come to pass. Should I tell you or should I keep it to myself? Something you have been given by God will create anything else you have ever been promised by God. Something around you that you have been given by God will create anything else that you have been promised by God. So what do I do when I want to change my life? I look for what I want to change and I sow a seed of that thing. Yeah. When I wanted to change the kind of funds I have, I looked for a fund seed and I sowed. So I stopped buying phones. Now, when a phone, even when iPhone 16 comes, I will not be shocked if somebody brings me a phone and says, God just placed it in my heart to buy you iPhone 16. Because that's what happened to me. That's what happens to me. I remember I was in Singapore when I saw this watch. And I was with some of my sons and I said, this watch, I'll have it. I mean, I think it was just a month later. Because I've sown so many watches. I used to travel. I buy my father a watch. I bring him. Until he told me these watches are too many. I was in America walking in the mall. And a brother told me, come. Let's go to the Apple shop. And then he said, do you want this Apple Watch Ultra? I said, I wouldn't mind. And he said, it's yours. He bought for me. Because when I want something, I sow seeds for it. So that I can create the future I want. So when I realize I don't have money for this future, I look at what is around me that can be a seed that will create a future that I want. You see, you want to live your life in a certain, you know, carnal way. Like, I must work hard. I must do this. So you continue. Me, I have a strategy. I have a strategy of climbing to my future. What is that strategy? Sowing the seed that God has given me to create the future that I want. Is it making sense? All right? Look at the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. That issue in her created the miracle of touching the hem of Jesus' garment. The loaves and the fishes of small young man created enough for the multitude. So you have something. You see, the problem with you is that you sow money seeds without thinking of what you are doing. You don't take it serious. It is a routine. But look at the boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That young man, when he gave them to Jesus, that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish began to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There is something you have. It is 5 loaves of bread and it is 2 fishes. But when you sow it as a seed, it will become something that feeds the entire world. Amen. Let me share with you a testimony. When we started building, everything was like default, our church. So we had this warehouse and we were going to build around it and save money. Because we felt that we already had a building, like the stone is halfway, so we don't have to demolish it. What we did know is that the whole place where the building was a quarry. So when we started digging, we realized that our former mighty building was actually suspended in the air. So what happened? It started collapsing. Hey, I was shocked. I said, who sent me? Who sent me? Now what is this that I have done? Because our engineer came and said, all this thing has to go. When we started digging, we dug 3,000 tipper trucks of backfilling. Yeah, debris. 3,000. That's how deep that thing was. Trucks. So what did I do? I realized that if I don't use a spiritual strategy, I will never come up from that hole. So I looked for dollars. And I looked and I scanned, who is the man that I know that builds without struggle? And I saw Papa Doug. Alright? So I sent the money as a seed and I said in my heart, this seed is so that when I start building, I will never stop. And guess what? I sowed the seed to create the future. From that time, because I knew the church in Kenya, I knew the people in Kenya, I knew how people don't give, I knew how people get discouraged when they build, I knew how the people in our country, they can look at you while you're asking for money and not move. So I needed a supernatural power. So I sold what I had. Instead of using it to build, I sold it as a seed to create a building, which is the future that I need. Now, that was my 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Let me tell you, even up to maybe, today's when? Sunday. Up to probably, I think yesterday, we have, from 2018, we have never stopped building. We are always building. If there is nobody in the building, alright, it is either because the materials have not come, or we are waiting for something to cure, alright, or the person who's supposed to do the work is not available. Not because there is no money. And it is not because there is a lot of money in the bank. Somehow, we just keep building. And we don't owe anybody 1 kobo. Why? The miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes is operating in my life because I sowed a seed of what I had to create the future that I am promised by God and I want to see. So if you want to say, hey, I want to build my own house, I will save, I will save, I will save until I build. You might never build. You must use the mystery that has been given to you, which is the mystery of seed time and harvest. And locate the person that carries that grace. If your father here has carried the grace of building houses, building churches all these years, why are you struggling? Hey, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, it's a mystery, it's a mystery, it's a mystery. I think you should slap your neighbor now. Have you pushed your neighbor? Have you pushed your neighbor? Eh? Now slap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, is a mystery, is a mystery. Listen to number 5. Number 5. Would you like to hear number 5? Now listen, write this down. There will never be a day in your life that you have nothing. That's not God. There will never be a day in your life that you have nothing. And somebody is trying to argue with me in the spirit and saying, man of God, I have nothing. No! God is not that unfair to you. There is something that you have. It might not be valuable to others, but it's valuable to you. There will never be a day in your life that you have nothing. That you have nothing that you cannot sow. There is something that you can sow. Shama katula makara makadosha. I see somebody rising. Rising, rising, rising. I see your eyes open. Your eyes will open. You will begin to see what is it that God has given to me that is actually meant to be what? A seed. Hey! Touch your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, I don't feel you. Touch your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. There is never a day in your life that you have nothing. Amen. Sit down. Remember the widow of Zarephath. She was impoverished. Like nobody's business. She said, I'm going to eat this, my son and I, and we will die. Guess what? She was about to eat her seed. When the man of God appeared, her financial deliverer, he said to her, bake for me fast, that I may eat fast. Then you can live on the rest. You can be as poor as that widow, but there is something that you have that is meant to be a seed. Am I talking to somebody in the house? The woman could have said, I don't have anything. She would have said, she might have even thought that she had nothing. But she had something powerful. She had something incredible and rare. This woman had the ability, number one, to discern that a man of God was in town. You see, even the ability to discern, I'm in the presence of a man of God. I remember one time I was in the supermarket, and then I saw a man of God that I used to hear about many years ago in Kenya. And I said, my God, I'm in front of a man of God. I took my wallet and I removed every shilling that was in my wallet. And I went straight to him because I had designed a moment. And I was not going to let this moment pass. And I told him, man of God, you don't know me, but I know you. You are a great man of God. And I sold the seed. Because discerning who you are in the presence of. You see, you see your bishop dancing. And you become familiar and you lose discernment. But to be in the presence of a prophet and to discern, that is a gift. This woman, when she came in the presence of Elijah and she discerned that this is a man of God, she was about to break the curse of poverty from her life. Yeah. And not just her life, her family's life. The Bible says her and her family, they ate and drank and stayed in times of famine without being affected because of her discernment. What else did she have? She had the ability to listen to the man of God. She would have easily ignored the man of God and said, I don't need to hear what you're telling me. You must use your brain, man of God. Because if you're saying, I give to you the last meal, what manner of man of God are you? So this woman had a discerning spirit and she had a listening ear. That is something that God gave to her. And her obedience to the voice of the prophet began a ripple effect of great blessing in her life that in the times of famine, she survived. She lived like a queen. She had food while others were dying. Look at your neighbor. Oh, no, don't look at your neighbor again. Now look at yourself. Say, I have something. Oh, I want you to say like you believe it. Say, I have something. I want you to repeat after me. Say, there is never a day in my life. Oh, I want you to say like you believe. There is never a day in my life that I will have nothing. There must be something that I have. that I can give, that I can use to navigate through a difficult season. Hey, I remember one day, I think last year, I had Bishop was coming to Kenya, prophet. And I began to plan what I will sow. I had not given to him. I was planning. So I said that last time I gave this amount, I want to go higher. So I decided I'll give a certain amount. Like it was a crazy, because when you're building, you don't have money. Money keeps going. So it means that I will stop whatever is happening to sow this seed, because I discern that this is a moment of visitation. Guess what? Before he landed in Kenya, I received a call. And the call was asking me, do you have an account in America or in another foreign country? I said, no. They said, no, we want to sow a seed in your life, but we can't send it direct to you. It will raise alarms. The amount of money, if I mention it, you go crazy. So for security reason, I will not say it. My thoughts to sow a seed began to create my future. Another person heard the Lord leading them to sow money into our building. A lot of money in tens of thousands of dollars. I said, God, this thing works. I want you to look at yourself and say, this thing works. Just thinking, I just thought I will sow this seed before Bishop landed. And I actually said, I'll sow that seed and I'll sow another seed. I say, anywhere he lives within this country, I will pay for that bill. I said, I will pay for that bill. So that was a decision I had made. I had even sent the money to the office that takes care of that. I said, anywhere in Kenya that he's going to stay, no matter the bill, it is my... They even called me and said, no, you can take care of part of the bill. I said, no. I don't want to share that bill with anybody. It is my bill. So I said that before he came, Bishop, somebody calls me and says, we want to sow this amount. Tens of thousands of dollars. You keep arguing with your Okada. Keep arguing. I am here to tell you that you have something you can use to create your future. I want you to repeat with me. Say, I am not empty. I have something. Say, there will never be a day in my life that I will never have something. Now, I want to give you three more, then we finish. Now, six. Six. God always gives you something to begin your future. Write it down. God always gives you something, which is a seed, to begin your future. Remember, I'm talking about 23 parts about seed faith. And number six is God always gives you something to begin your future. For David, he gave him a slingshot to create a victory. The widow that we are discussing had a meal to invest into a man of God. You have something. Look for it again. You have something around you. Look for it again. Look for it again. Don't despise what God has given to you. There is something around you. There is something around you. Malanda kapalandaha. Lord, show me. Show me what you have given to me. When God wanted to create a future for me for cars, he told me, that thing you are driving, what you are driving, is what I have given you to create your future. If I had held that car to date, it would be such a problem to me. It would have become such a problem to me. Because Sanyongs, they look good, but they used to have a lot of problems afterward. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, give this car as a seed. And then it began another, it opened a portal for me where I don't pray for cars, I don't fast for cars, cars chase me. They come to me. I'm in the office, somebody says, I want to give you a car. I want to give you a car. Oh yeah. Somebody gave me a truck, a Nissan Navara. Nice Nissan Navara. Then, one day my father said, I want to use your Nissan Navara. Up to now, he has never returned it. So recently I went to visit him and said, he told me, Pastor, this car, I am not returning. So he has a nice Land Cruiser V8. I said, okay, give me your Land Cruiser V8. He said, my Land Cruiser V8 is yours. Anytime you need it, anytime you want it, just come and take it. Yeah. I think I should go home. I am here to tell you, you have something. You have something. I say you have something. I say you have something. I want you to rise up on your feet and shout, I have something. I want you to look for 5 people and tell them, I have something. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I have something. I'm about to use it to create my future. When you see it, you will not believe it. If you believe it, shout, yeah. The neighbor you talk to is not nice. Look for another neighbor who has faith. Tell them, I have something. I have something. Tell them my life will never, ever, ever be the same again. Shout, I have something. Sit down. I have something. I have something. I have something. Like the widow, I have something. Like David, I have something. Somebody shout, I got it, 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 I got it. Shayala makatola habala nahabaha. You have it, you have it, you have it. And you're climbing, you're climbing, you're climbing. I see people in the realms of the spirit. You're climbing, you're climbing, you're climbing, you're climbing out. You're climbing out, you're climbing out. Shout yes! You'll see yourself at the airport. You'll say, I can't believe they used to give me a ride to church, but now I'm at the airport. You'll either be pulling or pushing or walking. Somebody shout yes. Say, I have something. I have a thought. I have love. I have kindness. I have patience. I have money. I have something. Yes. 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 Shaya la 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 makate la 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 baya. I have it. And I'm pulling out. Somebody say, I'm pulling out. Number 7. Number 7, it will blow your mind. Have you ever read those gutter things that says, I think 9 things, but number 8 will blow your mind? Huh? Now, listen to this. What I'm about to say is very important. You are a walking warehouse of remarkable seeds. You are a walking warehouse of remarkable seeds. When I look at pastors who look at an organization, all right, to be able to break through, I pity them. Because once you are called by God, and once you're a child of God, you are a walking warehouse of remarkable seeds. Since I started Harvest, our church, I have never called anybody for 1 shilling. Never. I've never asked anybody for even 1 shilling. Now, when we were getting married, can I give you a testimony? I had a budget. In my account, I had only 10,000 shillings, which was at the time $100. My budget for my wedding was approximately $4,000. So when we went for our meeting, I don't know about how you do it here, but we went for a meeting to discuss my wedding with the guys who are supposed to be involved. My cousin asked me, "Jimmy, what do you have?" And I say, 10,000 shillings. He adjourned the meeting. My cousin, he said, you're not serious. And he told the people, let us go back and discuss as a family, then we'll come back next week. Alright? So the meeting ended. And he went out and he gave it to me, he said, you're not serious. How can you be planning to get married? And you have not saved and trembled and you don't have anything. Now, to cut the long story short, that night, the Holy Spirit said, your 10,000 is a seed. Give it. So now, I called my beloved, and I said, God has spoken to me that the 10,000 we had saved, I should sow it as a seed. That's why I love my wife. My wife has never, ever, ever told me, don't sow the seed. Are you sure? Anytime I tell her, even her, she's worse. Sometimes I'm asking for, let's say, $1,000. People should sow $1,000 or $2,000. She's the first one to come. And I'm wondering, you have it? I didn't even know you have that kind of money. And she's always taking that. So she saves. Then when she finishes, she says, I'm saving for this. Then before even we get to buy the thing she's saving, she sows it as a seed. So she's a wild giver. I love her. That's why I love her. So when I called her, if it was you, your beloved saying, oh, we are so, you would have said, use your brain. What are you doing? Why are you there? But you know what? Yeah, you have to be wise, so. But my wife said, do it tomorrow. So I took the money and I went with it to my pastor. I said, this is a seed for my wedding. And he said, God bless you. He prayed for me. And you know, at this time, I said, oh, no, it's for your wedding. Oh, no, use it. No, he just said, God bless you. He has a very strong voice. Oh, God bless you. May God open the door for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. When I left, but believe it or not, a series of miraculous happenings began. By the time we were doing our next meeting, my whole budget was met. I'm not lying. You know, you people, you don't believe these stories. You think that is a lie. Now, how did it happen? I would meet somebody and say, hey, they would say, Pastor Jimmy, your wedding is coming up. What is remaining? Like in a span of 1 week, everybody I met took care of a bill in my budget. So depending on how I look at them, I decide, this one is for this bill. This one is for this bill. Because the first miracle was my dad. My dad said, I'll pay for all the food will be eaten in that reception. Yeah. So I said, wow, wonderful. So he paid for that. Then I started meeting people. Pastor Jimmy, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? By the time now we went for our meeting, I told my cousin, sit down. I told them, this meeting is not for raising money. This meeting is for managing the wedding day. Yeah. How we'll manage the wedding day. Otherwise, the budget is met. That would just be on his face. If I would have kept my 10,000, I would not have started this ripple effect that was happening in my life. So you as you sit here now, You are a walking warehouse of remarkable seeds. There is a seed that God has given for you to sow. Somebody needs to shout amen. Second last. You see, before I continue, let me say something here that is very crucial and very important. Most people, they waste thousands of hours studying their losses. They are studying their losses instead of taking inventory of what they had been given by God. They look at what they have not or what they don't have instead of what they have, what they have been given. So many of you keep saying, I don't have. Instead of looking at what do I have? Because none of you is empty. There is something that God has given to you. Oh yes. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I have something. I wish I could just preach on I have something. The Bible says there is this treasure in earthen vessels. That I have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. We have this treasure. So I am not empty. I have something. I am not empty. I have something. And I am a walking warehouse of remarkable seeds. What do you think? Yeah. Can I finish? Now, number what? 8. Write this down. Something you already possess is your key to your future. Something you already possess is the key to your future. Something you already possess is the key to your future. Something you already possess is the key to your future. By the way, let me tell you something, guys. Me, I did not do well in high school. So that will encourage somebody. Because I know this church, a lot of you do very well in school. And you're in whatever. But I didn't do well. I didn't do well because I was a bad boy. By the time Jesus was saving me, I was finishing high school. So I had no time to study. Are you seeing? But God had given me something. I have something. That thing is my seed for the future. God had given me the ability to speak. Am I not speaking? I'm not here because of my degree. Bishop Eddie did not ask me, send me your certificate. He doesn't even know. Actually, I went back when I did my Bachelor of Arts in Bible and Theology. After some time, when I just some few years ago, I decided, let me go and do Master's in Leadership. So when I sat in the class, it was like we are always arguing with the lecturer. Because I am practically doing, I have the art of leadership, the good general, I don't know all these things that I read. And this guy has no lead, he's just a lecturer. So I dropped out. Actually, I called Bishop Saki. He laughed. He laughed at me. Then he told me, Charlie, take art of leadership. Take the good general. And I take another one, some leadership books. Study that. That's your master's. Yeah, that is how I dropped out. So I am not like an excellent educationist like you. But God has given me something. That in my church I have doctors, I have lawyers, I have people who sit down and take notes. Because what God has given to me is the seed that is creating my future. So you are here. What is it that God has given to you that should create your future? Can I hear an amen from somebody? So somebody needs to say, I have it. Number 9, everything you have was given to you by God. That's another thing you should know. So do not become cocky about tithing and say, I cannot be giving my small amount to God. I need it. Your entire paycheck came from God. Your eyesight came from God. Your hearing came from God. Your health came from God. Your intelligence came from God. Your favor from others came from God. You do not have a thing that God did not give you. So those people who don't pay their tithes and they don't give and they have a problem with giving and sowing, there is nothing that you have that you gave yourself. Everything you have, everything you have ever had, came from God. Hallelujah. And what you're about to enter into is also going to come from God. Even the favor you have with others came from God. Even the favor you have at your workplace came from God. Even the favor you have in your town came from God. There is nothing that you have that did not come from God. Even the wife, even the husband. Some husbands stop their wives from serving. They stop their children from going to church. I want you to know the children, the wife, the husband you have came from God. Hey. And then finally, number 10. Alright? Number 10 says, if you keep what you presently have, that is the most it will ever be. If you keep what you presently have, that is the most it will ever be. When you sow it, it is the least it will ever be. This is one of the most vital principles that you must understand in unleashing uncommon harvest. Releasing what you have is the only evidence of your faith that God will provide for you. Releasing what you have is your confidence in God that God will provide for you. What you keep, that's the least it will ever, that is the most it will ever be. What you release, that is the least it will ever be. So if I give you bean seeds and you keep them in your pocket, that is the most they will ever be. But if I sow them in the ground, that is the least they will ever be. Am I talking to somebody in the house? And so I came all the way from small London, Kenya, Africa, little Dubai, to come and tell somebody in this house, this is the last day of your poverty. This is your last day of your lack. I see the hand of God picking you up and beginning to take you higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. I see you walking in high places and beginning to say that my life has really changed. And I came to tell somebody in this church that your season of dryness, your season of lack has come to an end. I don't know who it is that I came to preach to, but I need you to touch the person next to you and tell them, my brother, my sister, I'm shifting gears. I'm shifting levels. I'm moving higher. It's a new season. It's a new day. I will never be poor in my life again. Somebody shout, I have the key. I have the key. I have the wisdom. I have the ability. I know what to do. I'm a walking warehouse of remarkable seed. If you believe it, shout yes. Shout yes. One of these days, you will begin to build your house. Oh, let me try. I think my guys, is this my corner? Is this my corner? One of these days, you will be parking your nice car outside. Why? Because the shackles of poverty are breaking from your hands. Somebody shout, they're breaking. The devil is scared right now because he has kept your family in poverty for years, but God brought you to church so that He could share with you a revelation. And with this revelation, I see you coming out. One foot is out, but in the name of Jesus, I push your other foot out. Now your head is still in poverty, but I need you to know that your head is also coming. If you believe it, shout yeah. Some of you, you have been walking out of poverty, but I see a new spirit coming upon you. You will no longer walk out of poverty. You are now going to run up. Shout yeah. Now listen, your church, if you're a pastor, you are going to start seeing miraculous happenings in your church. Oh yes. You're always sitting there and writing Bishop Edia saying, Bishop, we need sound. But something is about to come into your life. Some of you, you need to look at this sound in this church. Take a seat and come and tell Bishop Eddie, my prophet, my financial deliverer, I am giving you this offering so that you can pray that my church will have nice sound. I don't want you to send me money for nice sound. I want you to release the grace to have nice sound. I want my church to have air conditioning. You don't even know how to call things from China. You don't know how to order things from China. You don't know. Because you have no money in your church. But after tonight, I have received a revelation. And I'm coming out. I'm coming out of mediocrity. I am coming out of obscurity. I am coming out of luck. I am coming out of poverty. And if you believe it, shout yes. Remember that woman who was about to die with her child? I'm just thinking about her a few days later. A few days later. She must have been walking in town and just looking at the guys who are dying of hunger and say, you guys, the prophet was in town but you did not notice. That woman, the Zarephath woman, people were dying of hunger and she was just walking in town. It's a prophecy. You are going to be driving in town. You know, I used to want a certain girl. Her name was Mind Your Own Business. When I told her I would like to marry her, I was in my shorts, I was in my slippers and my t-shirt. She just looked at me from top to bottom. And she said, She said, Jimmy, me and you, it cannot work. My heart was broken. My heart was shattered. Now, several years later, I used to have a green 300 Mercedes with sunroof. I decided to go and visit my mother. You know, when you are driving those cars, you don't move like roughly. You don't drive. No, I was just glide. That one. You don't drive. You glide. So, I was just listening to my music. So I turned, going to, and then you don't open the windows because the AC is just. So I was just driving, and that car used to be in such a way that when you see it, you notice it because it was a long range kind of a Mercedes. Looks almost like a limo.
So I moved. When I turned towards my mom's place, I saw, mind your own business. She was still in her slippers. She was still living in her mother's house. The one who looked at me and said, me and you, it can never work. So I realized that she has noticed the car is coming. So she stopped to look at it. When I got close to her, I slowed down. You know, the Benz sound, eh? It doesn't come out. It has surround. So when I stopped, I rolled down the window. Not the whole of it. It's not like the way you... No. Just go... And then up to somewhere here. And then I looked at her. Before I could mention her name, she said, Jimmy! Oh my God! Is this your car? Is this you? I say, baby, look what the Lord has done. And I'm here to prophesy. People used to see you going to church, they laugh at you. They see you sowing seeds, they laugh at you. One of these days, I said, one of these days, you will pull over and tell them, look what the Lord, I want you to practice and look for somebody now and tell them, my friend, Chale, God is about to do something in my life. When you see it, you will not believe it. Hey, hey. It's coming. Yeah. You know, as you're shouting, every wall is coming down. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah.
It's coming.
Hey. It's coming.
It's coming.
I'm out. Give the Lord a shout. Now lift up your hands and begin to thank Him for revelation. Shamalamandalaba. Tell Him, Lord, thank you for this revelation. Open my eyes to see that remarkable seed that you have given to me. Thank you for creating a way for me out of poverty. Oh yes. Everything that you have put in me, every anointing that you have put in me, everything that you have given to me as a remarkable seed to create my future, I want to know it. Thank you for creating a way out for me, for my life, for my family.
He is more than able.
accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way.
One more time, He is able.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today.
He is able.
He is able. He is more than able
to handle.
He can handle anything that comes my way.
Father, thank you. That's our confession today, that you are able. You are able. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that they will begin a journey of climbing out of poverty by the appropriation of the prophets in their life and the seed in their life. We give you glory and we give you honor. And everybody who believes that this is going to be the last day of your poverty in your life, shouts aloud, Amen. Why don't you give Jesus a better clap offering in the house?
Speak to me. I am listening.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Macarius Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.